Amen, amen, amen. And the blessing of it is that you see growth. You see growth in our ministry. And I am so excited by the growth in our ministry. Amen.
Amen.
No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Wow. Two powerful songs today by Fred Hammond. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So, now is the time for us to take on our daily bread. Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand to our feet. Amen. Amen.
God is great and greatly to be praised.
We're going to start, if you would, John. Gospel according to John, chapter 17. We are going to start at the 20th verse to the 26th verse. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. As it reads, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and thee have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for just you being who you are. We thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for all that you are doing and all that you are going to do. Forgive us of our trespasses and our iniquities, Lord. And as we study your word, Heavenly Father, let us meditate on it day and night so that we can apply it to our lives. So that we can encourage someone, uplift someone as we magnify and glorify your holy name. We pray these things unto you, Heavenly Father, and our precious Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. The message is, follow the pattern. Follow the pattern. One of the things that we used to see, there was a cliche. Everyone was walking around and they had their bumper stickers, their wrist bracelet band and everything. And it said, WWJD. Everybody walked around with it. Everybody had it on. They had it on t-shirts, bumper stickers, cars, and everything. Everybody was going around talking about, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Well, it probably would have worked in the biblical days back 2,000 years ago. But as it stands today, in our times, we should not be asking, what would Jesus do? The question is, what did Jesus do?
Yeah.
That's the question for today. What did Jesus do? What would we do is our question for today. What would we do? That's our question for today. This is in our time right now. Amen? Amen. So we have to be careful when we are standing and giving confirmation to cliches or biblical cliches that come out and that come in passing. That's not the question. What would Jesus do? The question is, what did Jesus do? And we're about to break it down. The last thing that he did before he did what he did. You have to follow the path. Amen. Amen. So, the last thing Jesus did and the first thing Jesus did was pray. And in John 17, this is what he was doing. Now, in the beginning of John 17, he was praying to his Father for himself. Because he's getting ready to, if you guys will remember, walk the last mile. He is preparing his mind and his heart for his ministry. He is preparing himself for ministry. And if you look through even the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, whenever Jesus did anything, before and after, he prayed. He had to be prayed up for everything that he did for mankind. He knew that coming into the situation. I need a rubber band. I'm sorry. It's not one that we would like to be doing right now. Wardrobe malfunction. Thank you. I just want to pull my hair back so that it does not
keep hitting the mic. Forgive me.
Elder Fred, I need a little. A little. Oh, there we go. I got one of these. There we go.
A girl tie for our hair
to stand in place. Amen. Elder Therese, is that okay? Much better, much better, much better. So in chapter 17, as chapter 17 begins, Jesus is praying for himself. Okay? And he's praying for himself and he's praying to the Father, saying, Lord, I remember that what you did, what we decided before the foundations of the earth. So, Father, as I walk this last mile here, I need to know that you are going to glorify me as I have glorified you in my walk. I have introduced people to you, know you,
yep.
who did not trust you,
Amen.
Who walked away from you. So I have done all that. This is what I have done, what you have sent me down here for, Father. So I need to know that you're going to glorify me when I'm finished. Then it goes down a little further in chapter 17 when he talks, when he prays for the disciples. He says, Father, you have given these to me, and I have taught them what you have would have me to teach them. All 11 of them, except for the one who was to fulfill the scripture of perdition, but I have prepared them. So, Father, I need you to be with them as well. Because when my work here is over with, they're going to have to carry on in your name. So I want you to equip them as you have equipped me. And then he goes on, and where we start our text, in verse 20, he's ending the prayer for his disciples. And then he goes into the prayer for the future believers, which is us today. And he's telling the Father, and he's still praying. And he's still praying to the Father. And verse 23, he says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect, knowing that it is perfected in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou loved me. And he's talking about, and now mind you, he's talking to the Father. So guess what? And y'all know the famous scripture, right? John 3:16. For thou,
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
So just as though he wants, and he's praying for us, so as God loved us, he loved us because he came for us. God loved us because he sent him for us. And he wants, and this is the prayer here. See, the same thing as it's finished, his work. Go to verse 4. Back up to verse 17, chapter 17, verse 4. It says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. So he's praying for us in the future. Isn't that how awesome he is?
Yeah, he is.
He saw far ahead for us today.
Yes.
He prayed for us back then.
Yes.
Because he knew what we would be doing in his name.
Yes.
Okay. Amen?
Amen.
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 Yes. So just as God has loved us and sent his Son, Jesus loved us and did what he did for us.
Because yes. You know, I be moving around. I might have to get the big mic because I need. Excuse me. Okay. I'm learning how to use this cordless mic and be still.
That's kind of hard. Amen. 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 So let's get back to the word. So, and as he is praying for us, he is telling the Father to please be with them as I am going to be with them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, verse 24, Father, I will take that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. So, if Christ is in you, then the Father is in you as well. And when he said that he would not leave you, that means the Holy Ghost is with you as well. Amen?
Amen.
So you have three operating as one in you. So wherever Christ is, the Father is also.
Amen?
That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. So, and as Jesus said, you're going to do greater things than what I have done. So the glory that the Father gives Jesus, he's going to give us as well. Amen?
Amen.
However, there's some things you have to do. Now, Jesus prayed for himself and his disciples that walk with him, and his future disciples, which is us today, us born again believers. Jesus did as much as he could do. He taught as much as he could teach his disciples. However, there was one problem. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, Jesus told his disciples to go to all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Unfortunately, the disciples didn't go to all nations. Jesus saw that. Jesus knew that. Ergo, therefore, that's why there was Saul, who became Paul. Now, in the book of Acts, it's the history of the New Testament. And it talks about Paul. It really gives the history of Paul's life as well. But as Reverend Key said, from Romans to Thessalonians, that is the format that we as born again believers are to follow. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So when you are following the pattern of Jesus Christ, Paul, in all of his epistles, and his letters to all the different churches that he opened up in the name of Jesus, he had a pattern. He had a word of encouragement. He had something for every person in every situation. Because he knew this was hard. Jesus, when he did what he did for us, he knew it was going to be hard. Paul was experiencing the same thing.
Amen.
As he was establishing churches all over the nations.
Yeah.
And guess what? He was going to all nations, not just the Jews.
Right.
He went to the Gentiles.
Right.
He went to the Greeks. And that is the difference between the disciples, the 11, and the one that was reestablished, Paul. Paul went to all the nations. But of course, Paul was receptive to the Holy Ghost talking to him. And I believe that was exactly what Christ would have him to be. He would be blinded so that he could not see. disciples, they were seeing Christ's work. And even though you saw it, you still didn't have it in your spirit. They saw Christ doing all of these miracles. They saw all of this. They witnessed all of this. But they still didn't have it in their spirit. They were not following the pattern that Christ had for their lives. Because if they did, they would have went all to all nations as he had told them to do. When he was in Matthew chapter 28, even when they saw him in his glory up in Galilee, there were still some people some disciples who still didn't believe. And he still had to prove himself. He said, put your hand in here. Put your finger in it. See the hole in my side? See my hands? See what I have endured for you? And you still questioning me? In Matthew chapter 28, he said, I have all authority. On earth and in heaven.
Yes.
He did it.
Yes.
He did it. And that's what he did for us. Now let's look at some other things he did. While he was here.
Amen.
He walked in obedience.
Yeah.
To his Father. He was the example.
Yeah.
He set the example. It's so good to see you, Mother Ruth. He overcame. He was an overcomer.
Amen.
As he walked. Because even though the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the clique, who was only dealing with tradition, and let me just sidebar here as far as traditions. Understand something. Lent is a tradition. It is not in the Bible about Lent. Just saying. It's a tradition. It is something that the Catholics started. And it was a 40-day fast after Mardi Gras. Because you know what happens in Mardi Gras, right? So they knew that they had to clean and purge themselves for 40 days. And they just had to happen to line that up with Good Friday. But Lent is not biblical, it's traditional. Mm-hmm. However, fasting is biblical. And you don't have to put ashes on your head for you to know whose you are. So, I'm just saying, Lent is traditional, not biblical. If you don't want to do it, don't let nobody tell you you have to. Okay? So don't feel bad if you are not giving up meat for 40 days. I know some people need to be fasting every day.
Okay.
One of them. I'm one of them. I got to fast from them sweets. Help me, Lord. Deliver me, Lord. But see, that's what Christ wants you to do. When you're fasting, you are in prayer. Now, fasting is not supposed to make you weak. And fasting is not supposed to make you angry.
Right.
And you don't have to look like you haven't eaten either. That is not what you would do. You would do that in privacy because there's another level that you're trying to get with in Christ. I need to know, what is my next mission, Lord? So I'm going to fast this week, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to meditate, and I'm going to wait to hear from you. That is where your fasting comes from. You don't have to roll it on the sleeve, put it on your forehead. It's not necessary. Amen. See, that's what the problem is. We get so caught up in tradition. And even as Pastor Keys told us last week in class, priests had to be married. So all these Catholic priests should be married. Should be married. You do not be not married being a priest. Leave those kids alone. That's right. I'm overcoming. I'm overcoming. And that's what we are to do. That's what Jesus did. He overcame. He was an overcomer as he walked this earth. As he did his ministry, he overcame the backbiters, the Pharisees and the Sadducees that were saying that he should have been acting according to the law of Moses when they wasn't even acting to the acting accordingly to the law of Moses. They was not, you know how they do it? They was talking, but not walking. And they had the nerve to everything that they tried to do, tried to steal, kill, and destroy Christ's spirit. That's why he talked in all of the different dialects that he talked in. That's why you have variables. I mean,
did I say variables?
That's why you have parables. I went back to high school there for a minute, y'all. I was thinking about calculus. But that's why he had parables. Because he was speaking in code. When he spoke in Aramaic, when he spoke in Hebrew, when he spoke in Latin, when he spoke in Greek, he spoke in every dialect appealing to every individual that he came in contact with. So he could have spoken, he spoke to the scholars in his scholars' dialect, and he spoke to Ray Ray over there in his dialect. He had a dialect for each conversation, for each individual that he come in contact with. He overcame the obstacle of being able to communicate. That's why when you speak to people, you look at them straight in their eyes so that they will understand what you're saying. They will never be able to say, I didn't understand. Oh, I didn't know what you were talking about. That's why we tell our young ladies, don't hold your head down. So what do you want me to do? I want you to hold your head up. You know why? Because you are chosen. You are a priesthood. Hold your head up. Keep that finger right up under your chin. Because people need to know that you are the Most High. And you are an overcomer of any obstacles that you go through. Amen? Amen. Give the now the hand clap of praise. Another thing Jesus was doing is he was focused. He was focused. He knew he had a plan. He knew he had a goal. And there was no deterrent in between. Your plan and your goal. Isn't that right, Elder Therese? That's right.
Amen.
What he stayed focused on was the word.
Yeah.
That's what he stayed focused on. And fulfilling the prophecy of the Old Testament. He had to come to fulfill prophecy. But he had to stay focused. When we stay focused on the word, everything else is extra.
Right.
Yes, it is. You know why? Because your obstacles, your distractions, all of those things that you go through, this word will put you right back on track where you need to be.
Amen.
It keeps you focused on your mission and on your ministry.
Yes,
you have to stay focused. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Not only was he focused, but he also witnessed.
Right.
He spread the word about becoming a new creature, about the body of Christ. That's what he did. And him witnessing, he was getting them prepared. He was getting them prepared. And the good thing about it is that it was not just the disciples he was speaking to, but the whole multitude. Everywhere he went. Now don't think that he just walked around and just did all the healing. He just did lame, you know, walking and you were seeing and you was hearing and casting out demons. No. That wasn't just what he did. He gave a word. He gave a word along with his miracles. He taught the word. And they sat there and they took it in. Like I said before, when you're going out doing ministry, if you are supposed to be fulfilling the ministry of the less fortunate, if you're supposed to be feeding them, feed them and then give them the word.
Amen.
Don't sit there and say, well, no, hold on, I'm going to give you the word first, because they're not going to hear a thing you say.
Right.
All they're thinking about is how their stomach growling, and it may be louder than what you say. So what Jesus did was he catered to their need first, so that they were able, and he drew them in so that they were able to receive the word that he had for them.
Yeah, man.
This is what we are to do, people. That's why we have restoration ministry, because we cater into the needs. And every time we go down there, we're catering to the needs, and they hear what we have to say. And guess what we tell them? God loves you, and so do we.
Amen.
Because we're adding our daily breads in there. We're putting our tracks in there. So we're not browbeating them. We're giving them something for them to meditate on. Because they're saying, that ministry is not just sitting here talking about it. They are following the pattern. And that's what we are to do. Follow the pattern of Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, not only did he witness. Okay, so not only did he pray, and he walked in obedience, and he overcame, and he focused, and he witnessed. Every time he did that, when he comes back to the end, his last mile, this is what he was doing in chapter 17. He was interceding. He was interceding. He was interceding on the behalf of his disciples. He was interceding on our behalf back then.
Yeah.
Knowing what we're going to have to go through today. Do you know how hard it is to get up in the morning? Aching? Hurting? That's our flesh. That's what Jesus was doing. I know he got us sometimes aching. His flesh, because he was made of flesh. I mean, doing all that walking, I know his dog was hurt. His feet had to have been hurt. That's a lot of walking. Really. But see, when we wake up with a spirit of gratitude for another day, another chance, one more chance to get it right, to do his will, to follow his pattern, sometimes our pain don't feel as not that much now, isn't it? It's not as bad.
Yes.
Now, there are some pains that will stick with us all day. I'm talking about pastor's knee, not the past. Talking about his knee. Because as I talk to him all day, one thing he says is his knee is hurting him all day. But count it all joy, right, Pastor? Because one thing he will do is keep it moving.
Yes, he will.
Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap for prayer. As Jesus intercedes for us, the pattern that we're following is to intercede for others. Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, uncles, aunties. We have to continually intercede for our children today. It's crazy. I got little children bringing knives to school and elementary. It's crazy. So we don't know everything that they go through because we're not with them 24/7. But before they get up, we have to get up. And we have to start praying for them before they leave out the door. How many of y'all used to pray for you before you walked out that door when you was a kid? Cover them. Cover them. That is our responsibility. They did not ask to be here. We brought them here. So cover them. It is so essential. They are so, so precious. They're our future. If they're not here, then we're getting old. We already talked about us getting up in the morning. But getting up a little bit earlier and having our own spirit of gratitude. Yes. Now we have a mindset now so where we can cover our children, cover our nieces, cover our grandchildren. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now you know before, and it's just like the airplane, before you put somebody else's mask on, you got to put yours on first, right? Amen. Cover yourself.
Amen.
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 Cover yourself first.
Amen.
Then cover your children. Cover your loved ones.
Yes.
We have to start interceding continually.
Yes.
Okay? And children, y'all got responsibilities too. Cover yourself and cover your parents and your grandparents and your aunties and your uncles and your teachers. You have a responsibility as well. You know how to pray. Yes, you do. So you pray for mommy. Even if it's, Jesus, let mommy get me that. Jesus, let dad take us to AutoZone this week. But whatever it is, you know how to pray. Pray for each other. Amen. That is what we to do. Pray for each other. Intercede for one another. And you know, I said, remember I said in the beginning, Jesus prayed, and at the end, he prayed? Well, before all of that took place, He loved. Agapeo love, unconditional. That meant he knew what he was going to have to do before he came down here. And he still did it. Our Father knew that we were going to need saving. And he sent his Son. In spite of everything, you know, I told you Old Testament is good reading. It really is, because you'd be like, wow, what a novel. They had some crazy stuff going on back in the day. But guess what? It's a lot of that that's going on today. A lot of it's going on today. So don't be surprised. Do not be surprised. But it's good reading. And if you think, and if you look at everything that was going on in the Old Testament and the New Testament that's going on today, just keep in mind knowing that he knew. That's unconditional. Sometimes we put conditions on our relationships. Sometimes we say, well, he ain't giving me enough money, so I don't want to be with him no more.
Right. Lord have mercy.
She ain't cooking enough for me, so I don't think I want to be in that no more. That is conditional, Markeisha. And we have to follow the pattern of Christ Jesus and make it unconditional. See, we are not to do the changing. He is doing the changing. So don't go into any relationship thinking you gonna change somebody. That's not your job. So just like Jesus meets you where you at, where he met Paul, where he was on that road, whoever you meet on that road, that's where they are. Now, if that's not where you want to be, then get off that road. But know that that person is right there where they are. You meeting them right there where they are. Just like Christ meets us right here where we are. And he makes the transformation. Not us. The transformation. The renewing of our minds. That comes from Christ. It's nothing that we have done on our own. Nothing that we should even be allowed to expect on our own. That's where you have grace and mercy. So if grace and mercy is following you all the days of your life, don't you know that anybody that you come in contact with, grace and mercy should be following them too? This is where we learn our patience. For one another, because of the love that we have. The love that we have for one another. The same love that Christ has for us. This is how we are to follow the pattern. So it's not what would Jesus do? It's what did he do? He set the pattern for us to follow. Amen?
Amen.
Unfortunately, the disciples didn't get that part of it. That's why I said Saul was blinded. So he could not see. He had to depend totally on the Holy Ghost and Christ to send someone his way to be able to deliver him. And then, you know, and that's a lot of times that's us. Sometimes we see too much. Because when you see stuff, you think you know stuff. And we don't know everything. And we need to stop acting like it. But children, believe it. When we tell you something, that's because we've been there. That's the difference. Let me break it down, young people. When we tell you something, it's not that we don't want you to enjoy life. We do not want you to have to go through the same pain that we went through.
Amen.
But of course, it's experience is the best teacher.
Yes.
Now, and us as children, back in the day, our families did the same thing to us. They told us stuff. And that same, I'm sure you guys are thinking, experience is the best teacher. How they know? They don't know. They just think they know. So we've been there, done that, got the t-shirt. And all we want to do is just take a little bit. But see, we didn't know that when we were you guys' age. We were focused on the same thing y'all were focusing on. They don't know nothing. But remember, parents and grandparents, our parents told us that. And we said the same thing. But if we knew now what we knew then, I know for sure that was some of the dumbest things I would never have done. I know for sure. If I had to follow my parents, my grandparents' advice, I know for sure there were some things that I would not have done. But like I said, experience is the best teacher. So, when you get that whooping, because you were told not to do it, and you went and did it anyway, just know, we got them too. And that's your rite of passage. So no, you're going to get your butt whipped. But that's love. That's love. That's love. That's love. That's love. That's chastisement. And that's just like what Christ do to us. You know, remember when you was out there in the world and you came home and you said, Lord, I promise I'll never do it again if you just get me out of this.
Right.
No matter what you was doing, whether it was a relationship or libations or whatever you was doing, you asked the Lord to get you out of it because you won't do it again. And he knew you was lying. He knew you was telling that story. At that time, he saw it down the future. He says she's going to be asking that again. But that's the chastisement. Because guess what he said? He said he would never leave us nor forsake us.
Yeah.
So, even in our own muck, know that Christ is there with us in our own muck. He's not leaving us.
Right.
He's probably sitting there saying, there. You know the Holy Ghost told you not to do that, right?
There.
It's going to be okay. There. That's what you get for being hard-headed. But I'm going to be right here. I'm not going nowhere. I'm going to be right here. But that's what love is. And when you're following the pattern of Christ, that is what you are to do. You are to love one another. You are to pray for one another. You are to walk in obedience. Why? Because someone is watching you. Who are contemplating, maybe straddling the fence on if they're ready to give their life over to Christ. So if you're walking in obedience, they are seeing that. And more importantly, Christ is seeing that. Amen?
Amen.
And then you are overcoming any obstacles, any derailments, any distractions, anything that's coming up against you, whether you caused it or someone else has caused it, you are overcoming. Amen?
Amen.
And stay in focus on this word.
Yes.
Stay focused on this word.
Amen.
And then witnessing. You being a witness for Christ, and not just your mouth, but your life. That's what Christ did. He witnessed. Not with just his mouth, but his life. He came down here and showed us exactly how to do this thing. And one of his first miracles was turning water into wine. And that meant You can still live. It's okay to say amen.
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 Interceding. We are to intercede for one another. We are to intercede for one another. And then throughout our interceding, remember, as the beginning, to love one another just as Christ loved us. Because you are all worth it. He said we were all worth it. Amen?
Amen.
We are worth everything that He has given us. We are royal priesthood. That's why our heads are held high. That's why we ain't gonna have our head down. Because we know who we are and whose we are.
Yeah.
In Him.
Yeah.
And through Him.
Yes.
That is the only way we are to be able to follow the pattern. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Unconditional love. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Unconditional love. I'm going to take this time now. Everyone stand on your feet. The Holy Ghost is telling me to be. And I'm going to be obedient to it. Is there anyone among us who has not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? There is no one among us. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
Yes.
We have all accepted Christ into our lives. Now, keep this in mind. It's not easy following the pattern. It's not easy. That's why we have to stay prayed up. And we have to stay in meditation. And we have to continue to follow Christ. Remember I said, if you want to be like Jesus, be like Paul. Follow the pattern. Be the example. People are watching us. And the best way that you can show someone that you are an ambassador for Christ is your life. Living it for Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Following the pattern is hard. And it's painful. So, if anyone wants to come down for prayer, I will pray with you as the Lord continues to use you to follow His pattern, to bring those souls to Him. That's our mission. We're supposed to bring as many believers to Christ as we're supposed to it, as we can in our lifetime. That's your dash. You have a sunrise and you have a sunset. Your dash, which is in between, is how you live your life for Christ. Now, we had a spell when we was living our lives for us. There was a time. But now we are living for Christ. And as we live for Christ, we will die daily. Because it's our old nature that we have to overcome. Because that joker ain't no joke. So while you sitting up there arguing with yourself about some things that you know you should not be doing, some things you should be doing, just know that you are overcomer through Christ, not through Adam. Amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, because everybody is being an example. Everyone is following the pattern. Amen. I'm excited. That means we had an awesome week, right?
Amen.
We had an awesome week.
Yeah.
That means we were the example and we followed.